Yo, welcome back to the Killer Sports Pick Show. Got your host here, Killer, my main man,
Ground Jordan. Good morning.
Do you have your mojo working today, Ground?
Yeah, I just turned it on a little bit ago, and I'm excited for today.
Oh, you got to keep your mojo working, man. It's going to be a big week. It's a lot of upsets that will happen. We're coming off last week, which was a big week for the podcast. We changed the way we presented the podcast, and it was successful. And we're going to do it again.
I'm stoked. I really do like the new format, and I think that it helps people a lot more than the old format did.
It did, and we got positive feedback, and I'm glad we did. Glad we did it that way, and the feedback was really positive. So, today this podcast is brought to you by New England Fleece, best fleece in the business. Get your fleece, man, because it is cold. You can call Marco, John, or Pete at 508-678-5550.
Is that a fake phone number? It sounds like there's too many fives in there.
555-1212. No, 508-678-5550. It's only like 5 8s and 6.
Oh.
And 6 is 7. No. Yeah.
So, Killer Sports Pick Podcast, episode 91, is also brought to you by Grey Gear Play Forever. What's your play forever?
And Foot Tech. If you have knee, back, neck, butt, shoulder, toe pain, go to Foot Tech. Check them out. And then let them know that Killer and Ground sent you, and you get a discount. You get a discount everywhere if you say Killer and Ground sent you.
And I just want to...
Even Target.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to try that out. I just want to plug our website, Twitter, and Instagram real quick. So the website is killasportpicks.com. Twitter, at killasportpick. And Instagram, killasportpick.
And give my man SportsBetterX. Go check him out. Great handicapper. He's on Instagram. He's on Twitter. SportsBetterX. Good friend of mine. Great dude. Check him out.
He won't hit you in the head with your own helmet?
No. That was crazy, man.
So the biggest news in the NFL for probably like the last 2 weeks, Myles Garrett winning by, I think it was 14 points with 8 seconds left in the game, decided to rip off Rudolph's helmet and hit him in the head with it. I'm sure you've watched this a few times. I think I've watched it about 20 times.
You hit him in the head with a bottle. That was crazy, man.
So
I'm using all the sounds. You hit him with everything.
Anyone listening to this podcast, you know, they've seen that video probably as many times as I have, you know. It's been all over ESPN, everywhere. Everyone's been talking about it. I think that the season-long ban is appropriate, given, you know, some other types of incidents that have happened and people have been able to come back, like Kareem Hunt. I don't think there's any way that you could compare it and keep him out forever. Mm-hmm. However, I think in the meantime...
You just said ever.
In the meantime, you know, I think they should set up maybe like a pay-per-view where he fights Fontez Perfect in the octagon. Would you pay for it?
Yeah.
And maybe like the winner. Oh, wow.
That message went out. I hit the record.
Is there a button that makes your brain explode on your keyboard?
Yeah. That's what I'm supposed to say. I think he shouldn't come back. Like, that's dangerous, man. No, first of all, Rudolph just had a concussion, right? That's part one. Part two, can you imagine me and you walking down a downtown area in New York, downtown New York, with a football helmet, just randomly swinging it? We get tased and get killed.
I'm surprised that Rudolph, you know, didn't get at least like knocked down and kind of, you know, dazed from that. Maybe it was like the
It
was the adrenaline, you know, that kind of kept him on his feet when he got hit. Also, I was watching it, and he got hit, like, where kind of the padding is on the inside, you know? Mm-hmm. But they were saying, you know, if he got hit with the broad side of that, like, there's a decent chance he gets a concussion out of that. The other thing is you can't really look at that in a vacuum. I think you would take into consideration the other two incidents that happened earlier in the year. So he had the two hits on the quarterback from the Jets in the first half, and one of them, I don't know if you remember, he ended the guy's season. It was the backup, mm-hmm. the Sam Darnold. And then the...
Was it Fink Font or something?
Yeah, he played for like 14 minutes, if that. And his season was over. May never play again.
Yeah.
And it was on a late hit, too. He got flagged for it. And then he, I believe, another game threw a punch and got fined for that.
Yeah.
I
don't know why that's going off. But the... Wait. Oh, my God. The soundboard's going crazy.
Well, you should try hitting more buttons on it. I think it'll fix it.
Try not. And we're gonna move on from this quickly because we don't have a lot of time. But my last thing to say about it was he would have probably been the defensive player of the year, hands down. Like, he was on track. And, like, he's a time bomb. You're going to, you know, look at you did with Antonio Brown. Look what you did with Burfict, which, if you ask me, Burfict's play was bang, bang. You're like, Burfict, his reputation is what got him fined and thrown out. But when you think about it, that's dangerous, man. You just didn't take his helmet off. You ripped it off his head and you swung it at him.
Yeah, I mean, they were even talking about, you know, the possibility of Rudolph pressing charges, which is possible. You know, it is a criminal act, which is insane that you would do that, you know, on national, international TV show, you know, broadcasted to millions of people, do something like that. So to me, that just shows a complete lack of self-control. You can't take into account the fact that, you know, that single action could cost him his career, millions of dollars, and then the earning potential of millions of dollars. You can't take that into account, you know, for your actions. Then it's really hard to trust somebody like that in the future.
I agree. So we'll move on from it.
So in other news, the other big news this week, Kaepernick was given an NFL workout. So no one's ever been given an NFL workout before. They've done workouts for teams. So this is clearly related to the case, and I think that what the NFL is doing is trying to prove, you know, that they're not the ones who are liable for him not being on a team. So that they're not going to have to owe damages, and they're not the ones who are liable. So it was going to be at an NFL stadium, you know, on Saturday, but they weren't going to allow cameras in. So they ended up doing it, pushing it back like 2 hours and doing it at a high school. I don't know if you watched any of that.
No, I watched like one way do a pass to someone. My thing is, you know, he's 32. He's been out of the league, 3 years? I don't know. Like, would they let some other guy? There's plenty of guys out there that didn't make the draft, and they're playing in other leagues, and like, I think they would deserve a chance. So I think, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
it's a little political.
I got two things from this. One is these guys might be, you know, prime candidates for XFL. You know, if you start adding up the XFL players, you could probably put together like an all-pro XFL team that might be able to beat, you know, Cincinnati, maybe Miami, maybe the Jets. Probably like 5 years down the road.
You think so?
Well, I think you put together, you got Kaepernick, Burfict, Miles Garrett, Antonio Brown. You start putting up.
You get
an all XFL team versus the last place NFL team, and they should do that once a year. So if you're last in the NFL, you have to play an extra game where you play against the all XFL team.
That would be cool.
But also, because it was at a high school, I was thinking, you know, say this happened at my high school and you got all the media there, you got Kaepernick there. I wouldn't be able to avoid the temptation of trying to get on that camera, especially if you wanted to. Let's say, like, you wanted to be a kicker, you know, you position yourself in the background in street clothes, and as soon as Kaepernick starts, you know, chucking at you just in the background, either you're throwing the football, trying to catch passes, kicking, you're trying to get your moment, you know, in front of the scouts, too.
True. Or you should have a Venmo sign up, you know, like, Venmo me some money, like the kids do on a college game day. But, yeah, I understand that. So, today we have a special guest. His name is
London Money.
London Money. Nice.
My son, he's a good fantasy guy. He gave me last week we did well. We had some really good picks, and we're gonna talk about them as we go through the game. But London Money was the one that gave me the Slayton pick, which I had him in my. If you had him in your lineup, you won some money. So,
welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. I was wondering if the audience was ever going to clap.
The audience clapped.
So our first game off that we're going to jump into this week, we got Atlanta at Carolina. The over-under moved from 51 down to 49. And Carolina started out as the favorite by 6.5, and it's gone down to 4. So Atlanta's only getting 4 points in this.
So last week we talked about Hill. With Atlanta, we thought he would come in for garbage time when if the Saints was blowing them out. Unfortunately, the Saints weren't blowing them out. They end up losing. It's one of our picks that we talked about this game, Atlanta and New Orleans. We said that it's not what everyone thinks, and we actually was big on Atlanta. So you heard it here first on the podcast. But Brian Hill was a guy that we talked about. Last week he had 20 attempts. He ended up with 13 fantasy points. So he's a guy that, you know, everybody's talking about him this week. He should have a big week. McCaffrey should have a big week. I think Julio Jones will have a big week. On the other side of the ball, on Carolina's side, they have those, you know, they have receivers that I call them the no-name bunch, but they're speedy guys, short guys. Like Samuel, you know, he's 6,300 in FanDuel. I would use him both FanDuel and cash. Season long, I'm not sure about using him. I don't know. I like Atlanta in this game.
So as much as McCaffrey's price keeps going up, he's far and away, you know, the points leader in the NFL when it comes to, you know, fantasy points this year. So even though he's at 10-5, I would still work him into at least one of your lineups this week. I agree with you on Julio Jones. Austin Hooper is hurt this week for Atlanta, so I don't necessarily think those targets are going to go to the backup tight ends. Those guys get about like one target per week, nothing very special. So I think Austin Hooper's targets will move towards Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. So I do like both of them today. And I know you talked about Curtis Samuel, but I was surprised to find that DJ Moore, who averages more fantasy points per game than Samuel, is actually priced 300 cheaper at 6,000. And he's coming off a 16.5-point fantasy game.
He had 11 targets against Green Bay.
So in the
he's another guy.
He's averaging 10 targets per game in the last 4 weeks, and he's had double digits in 3 of those 4 weeks. So I see a lot of value there with DJ Moore.
Now, what do you think about Allen? Is that a guy for 7,200 that you start? In DFS,
I looked at him a little bit, and I broke down his numbers. Even when he has the best opportunities, he doesn't break 20 points. And I see this as one of the better opportunities that he has on the year. But after you look at what, you know, what happened with Drew Brees last week, you know, I think that Carolina runs the ball too much to really use him as a legitimate option. if he was cheaper.
Well, he has had over 30 passing attempts. Last week he had over 40. So, you know, McCaffrey's getting a ball on swing passes too. So, I don't know. You're right. He hasn't really broke 20 points yet, so it's not a guy that I'm looking at.
He's throwing it a ton. My problem is when you if you throw the ball 43 times and you don't break 15 fantasy points, you know, I'm not going to pay $7,200 for that. You know, let's say he was down closer to $6,000. I go, okay, maybe I'll take a shot.
Yeah. But a lot of those passes are going to the flat to McCaffrey, too. So what do you think, Atlanta, Carolina, London money? Atlanta. Which guys would you play?
Ridley and Jones.
Ridley and Jones. All right, let's move on.
All right, so up next we got Houston at Baltimore. Houston's getting 4.5 points. The over-under on this game is 51.5.
Wow. It's going to I think this game's going to be a lower scoring game. It's cold weather in Baltimore. Baltimore's going to run the ball a ton. I don't see them passing much today. I don't think it's Lamar's week this week. I know last week he had an unbelievable day. We were big on him. 33 fantasy points. Like, in a lot of those came from the ground. I just think it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I'm going to stay away from anyone in this game. I don't think I'll be playing anyone from this game.
What's crazy about the 33 fantasy points, I've never seen this before. He threw 17 passes in that game, and you know, I've never seen somebody throw under 20 passes and have over 30 fantasy points at the quarterback position. But it just shows how different he is than all other quarterbacks. You know, he's kind of a version of RG3, but I think a much better version of RG3.
RG3 actually got in the game last week.
Yeah, I didn't know he got in there at the end. That one wasn't covered where I live. I got to get the red zone like you have.
Yeah, they did a triple option at the end, and RG3, like, it was RG3. They were like the three Heisman players were on the field at once. I forgot to go. It's RG3, Ingram, and Jackson, of course, and they did a triple option. Then RG3 finished the game at quarterback.
I wonder if he's going to get back in the Subway commercials now that he got some field time.
Who, Jared? He's playing flag football in the
So, Mark Andrews, he had a huge week last week. I could see him, you know, breaking into double digits again. He seems to be, you know, one of Jackson's favorite targets, and I think it's due to Jackson's, you know, his inaccuracy, so Andrews is a big target for him. So I think that's why, you know, as far as receiving goes for Baltimore, only one I play is Andrews. I don't know if Mark Ingram's going to find really much running room in this game. Houston ranks third against the rush. Obviously, if he's your running back in season long, you probably don't have a better option. You know, I see him probably getting, you know, right in double digits, somewhere around like 11 points or so. And then as far as Houston receivers, I think that DeAndre Hopkins will get his targets, you know. He's had over 11 or more targets in each of the last four games. So he has a decent floor there of, you know, somewhere around, you know, 12 to 15 points will be his floor. So he's probably the safest option in this game at skill position outside of quarterback.
I just, maybe a defense or something I might use, but I'm not touching that game.
So if you had to,
what do you think? Oh, sorry. Are you playing any plays from that game? London money? Who?
Yeah. Hopkins.
Speak up.
Hopkins.
Right. He says Hopkins.
Like, so he agrees with me. So he's smart. So if you had to pick this game, who do you take? Are you taking Houston with the points?
I would say Houston with the points, 4.5. I would take Houston with plus 4.5.
I'm not.
I don't, everybody's projecting this score. I would play the under. I don't think it's going to. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
All right. So up next, we got Denver at Minnesota. Denver is getting 10 points in this one. The over-under is 40.5. So it's one of the lowest over-unders of the week. And Denver is in, they're in a bit of a mess right now.
Yes. Yes, mess. So in this game, like Brendan Allen, who started off well last week against Cleveland, he was he wasn't bad, but I just, Minnesota's good. Their defense is good. Kirk Cousins, he's going to have a big game. Definitely Dalvin Cook, without a question. I would even play Mattson. Diggs, you know, Treadwell. Rudolph had some good targets last week. Maybe him. On the other side, I don't know. They're going to try to run the ball. Lindsay's been up and down. Minnesota's defense, I would definitely play. If I had to play anybody from Denver, it would be Sutton and Lindsay. But if you're playing season long and you have someone else to put in, don't play Lindsay. Don't play Sutton. If you're doing DFS, maybe for a sneaky pick, but I don't see them doing much today in the dome.
I agree. So my favorite player from this game is Dalvin Cook. I'm surprised that, so Adam Thielen's out again. And what I've been a little surprised about is with Adam Thielen out, how Stephon Diggs hasn't really capitalized on that from a fantasy point perspective.
No.
Which makes me weary of using him. I boosted him once Thielen went out and he hasn't really done anything. So I don't necessarily like the Minnesota receivers this game. Well, at least those guys. You can maybe take a shot on a Treadwell, you know, like you said. I think there's more upside there for the price. As far as Rudolph, I think he's probably going to be owned pretty high this week compared to what he has been over the last 2 years. However, you know, people are just going to look at the 17.4 fantasy points from last week. But what's crazy is that's on 14 receiving yards. So what that tells me is it's a fluke, you know.
Yeah.
It's a one-off thing that happened that you can't really count on that. It's not probable for that to happen again.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. And he was always wide open. But another guy I didn't mention that I like is Alabisi Johnson. I think he have a big part in the game today. So I'm not big on Denver today.
No, I'd say the safest option from this game is Cook and maybe take a shot on the number two and number three Minnesota receivers, in my opinion. I agree with you here.
There you go. Do you like anybody in the game today, London Money?
No.
You don't like Dalvin Cook?
No.
Okay, there it is.
So
that was simple.
Because Denver,
he's a man of many words.
Because Denver's getting 10 in this, and it's such a low over under. I really would stay away from this game when it comes to betting that spread, because 10's a lot of points, and like you said before about you know, about their backup quarterback, is that he's not terrible. You know, Brandon Allen, you know, he put up 17 points, threw for two TDs against Cleveland. So he may be able to keep this within the 10 points, but I don't feel comfortable, you know, with this spread.
So here's my thing with a spread like this. It was like yesterday I played, it was UMass against Northwestern. They gave UMass 42.5 points, and UMass isn't that good. They have a program that's, you know, it's really new, young program. But I looked on the other side of the ball. Northwestern, they're not a scoring team. They scored over 22. The highest they scored was 22 points. So I bet the game, and I bet it heavy, because I said, give me 40 points for a team that hasn't scored over 30. And UMass ended up winning. Like, they covered by 3, but still. And that's what I see in this game. I know I'm a firm, I hate, like, double-digit spreads on the minus side. But I just think that Denver can't score and Minnesota can't. So Minnesota scores 2 touchdowns, their defense is going to handle the rest. That's the way I see it.
That's the way the majority of people are seeing it, too. 62% of people are taking Minnesota minus 10 in this one.
All right.
So, up next, we got Buffalo at Miami. Miami is getting 6.5 points. The over-under has bumped up to 40.5. It is one of the lower over-unders of the week. What do you think about this game?
For the game, I like Miami. Miami's been, I think, their last five games against the spread, they've won. Last week, I said play Miami money line, and I took it. I won. It was plus 425. I think plus 475. And I think that they do it again. Because they had a close game in Buffalo. I think they do it again. Hearns.
Hi.
Oh, Jihaha's awake.
Jihaha's awake. My studio's filled with my kids. So I think Allen Hurts they just gave him an extension. Preston Williams went down, which is a huge loss for Dolphins. But I think Hurts, Grant, Fitzmagic, those guys will have a big day. On the other side, with Buffalo, Singletary's unbelievable. John Brown and Josh Allen. I think Miami wins, but I think it will be a high-scoring game. Definitely an over game.
I do like this game. I agree that it's going to be an over. I've become a bit of like a Josh Allen fan this year. So because of that, you know, I do like John Brown in this. I think his boom side is not very high, but he has a decent floor. His high on the season is 21.8. He gets a decent target share, which I really like about John Brown. Like last week, he had 11 targets. So I think he has a lot of upside this week, especially at the price of 5,900. I think Singletary has a decent week. 2 weeks ago, he had 21.5. Last week, he only rushed the ball 8 times, but he got 6 targets. You know, so you're looking at 14 touches in a game, which I like from, you know, a wide receiver, especially running backs, a little low, but those targets help boost you up. So I like those two from Buffalo. And then from Miami, I do like Fitzpatrick. He finds a way just to get it done. Doesn't really matter what defense he's playing against. I do like the over like you do as well. It's hard to pick a wide receiver that you can really count on from the Miami side. I think it's going to be some lesser known guys that surprise us this week, like possibly, you know, an Allen Hurns
or Grant. Grant's their speedster. He's like they do a lot of trick plays with him. But in this game too, if you remember, was it 3 or 4 weeks ago when Buffalo played Miami? Miami had that game in a bag. Totally had it in the bag, and it came down to one series where Miami could have scored and they turned the ball over. Here's another thing, and I always tell you this. This is huge. I don't know what the temperature is in Miami. I should have checked it before this. But, again, Buffalo's coming from snow. It's snowing in Buffalo. They go to Miami. What happens? Miami's visitor's sideline does not have shade.
Hi, Bobby.
It's not shaded. So they're going to sit and bake, and a fatigue factor comes in. It happened last year against Chicago, and Chicago was a huge favorite, and they came into Miami, and Miami beat them. So I don't know. I think that might play a part today.
I agree. Ultimately, I like Miami plus 6.5. This game is pretty close. You know, people are taking Buffalo 53%. People are taking Miami 47%, which is basically a split right down the middle.
Definitely. And get one name I forgot is Gesicki, the tight end. I think he has a huge day today, especially with Preston Williams out. Fitzmagic's been thrown to him a ton. Bellage is back. Walton's out. But I still like Miami plus 6.5. Do you like anything, London Money?
Yes.
Okay, speak up and tell us.
Fitzpatrick.
Why do you like Fitzpatrick today?
Because he did the past 2 weeks.
There you go. My other son likes the Rams. The Rams are playing tonight, buddy. I'm sorry.
So, up next, we got Jacksonville at Indy. Jacksonville is getting 2.5 live over under is 43.5. The public has this one essentially split right down the middle on which side they're falling down on this game. So at skill positions, T.Y. Hilton is out and Paris Campbell is out. So two wide receivers for Indy. However, I think that Brissett has been, you know, officially playing now. So that boosts, you know, Indy's chances in this game up quite a bit. That he's healthy. However, on the other side, Nick Foles is coming back for Jacksonville. So that adds a whole other element to them as well. They get more of that downfield threat coming back to them. So what do you think about the players in this game?
So I looked at this game, and you can't judge last week that Indy lost to Miami. Miami played a great game. Brissett didn't play. It's two things. I like Jacksonville getting 2.5 here. I think Nick Foles is good. He's a good quarterback. He's proven himself time after time. Indy isn't a bad team, but I see less Fournette, less Chalk, and D.D. Westbrook, who is Nick Foles' guy, will have a huge day. On the other side of the ball, I see Mack and Chester Rogers and Pascal, and those guys are going to get their share too. But I would stay away from Fournette and stay away from Chalk this week.
So the guy that I really, really like in this game, I went and did some research back to the first game of the season against Kansas City, where you had Foles in the game, and Chris Conley, who's only 5,500 this week, when he was catching passes from Nick Foles, he went 6-7 receiving for 97 yards and a touchdown. He had 18.7 points that game. I think that there's a ton of value, not only in D.D. Westbrook, but also Chris Conley. I would downgrade the other Jacksonville receivers who were actually higher priced and have higher fantasy points per game, but that was under Minshew.
Yes, and I agree with you. So with Chalk was like more of a backup. He wasn't, you know, projected to do as well as he's doing, and he's doing well, but Minshew threw the chalk constantly. Chalk. He practiced with him. So when Foles went down, like Westbrook's value went down, and Chalk's went up because Minshew threw the chalk. But again, Conley, Westbrook, those guys are going to see a huge uptick. I don't see them even running the ball. I think they're going to test Nick Foles right off the bat and see, you know, is this guy back? Is he ready? So I see them chucking the ball. I see him throwing the ball over 30, 40 times today.
I agree. I don't like the running backs in this game. I do own – so if you own Mack or Fournette in season long, you probably don't have better options. You got to start those guys. I don't see them having boom weeks. I see them having, you know, kind of closer to floor, middle of the road weeks. But as far as the receivers go, you know, we already talked about Westbrook and Conley. On the other side of the ball, I like Pascal and I like Doyle. So those are the four good skill position people that I would play from this game. And I would maybe do a lineup where you take a shot on Foles in this game.
And I'm going to do one. I'm maybe the 1 p.m. slate. I'm gonna stack Jacksonville and maybe leave, you know, Fournette. I just don't see Fournette having a huge day today, so I might do it and leave him out. Do you like anything today, London Money, from the Indy Jacksonville game?
Yeah, Nick Foles.
You like Nick Foles? Why do you like Nick Foles?
Oh my god, because he did good in week one.
Yeah, there we go. So,
all right, nice. So up next we got the New York Jets at Washington. So these
the New York Jets at Washington.
So they're combined for 3 wins on the season, which is probably why this game is sitting at 38.5 over under. The Jets are getting 2.5 in this one, and the fan base is a little heavier towards the Jets, with 60% of people taking them with the points.
So I can see that today, one, because Haskins hasn't showed up. I think he was hyped. Like, he hasn't had over 10 fantasy points yet. So that tells me two things. One, it tells me that they're gonna run the ball a ton, and Adrian Peterson is gonna capitalize on it. He's coming off of double digit fantasy weeks.
13.5 well. Against Buffalo.
Yes, and he had a great run, and he did well. Same in Minnesota against a good defense. So I think today is his day. 6,300, play him. Darius Geis, sneaky pick. He's healthy. He's a guy to have. Maybe they play him on third down. But if, you know, season long, definitely not. If you're doing a tournament play and you're being sneaky, maybe put him in. Definitely cash. You know, if you're in a 50-50, many people won't have him. He's a sneaky play. But I like him. Bell today, Bell should have a big day, but he hasn't had a big day yet. So I don't know. I'm thinking Crowder, yes. Definitely Crowder. Demaryius Thomas, I know he has a questionable label, but it's definitely play. Yes, Demaryius Thomas. And Washington receivers, McLaurin. And our other guy that we always talked about who hasn't done anything, I think he got in trouble, is Sprinkle at tight end. Haskins throws to him a ton. 4,500. I don't know. It's a lot of guys I use at this game, and that's one guy. That's what I'll do.
So I don't know why, but this low over under kind of scares me away from the skill position players in this game. However, I just don't see it going that low because there is a lot of talent in this game. It kind of depends on the quarterback play, which is very shaky for both these teams. And so yes, that's what kind of scares you away from some of the players who rely on the quarterback, but the running backs don't necessarily rely on them. And that's why I do agree with you. I think Adrian Peterson's floor here is probably somewhere around 12 points. He has the ability to turn this into his biggest game of the season. Le'Veon Bell,
he definitely does.
Like you said, this could be Le'Veon Bell's biggest game of the season as well. Both of these guys should put up big days. I see this game staying pretty close, which would lend towards both teams running the ball.
But when you look at Washington, right, and I know it was a yucky day, San Francisco came in and did not score a touchdown against them at home. I think that they play well at home, and they're going to grind this game out. I just think on the other side, if I'm Washington, I'm more worried about Crowder, which Donald's going to throw a ton to, than I am Bell. Bell's just not, he's not putting it together. Defensive-wise, maybe Washington has a sneaky play. I don't know. Season long, definitely. I'm sure nobody owns any of these defenses. But for DFS-wise, maybe Washington, like if you ran out of money and that's all you can use, you know, if Washington's left, their defense, use them.
I think Washington is probably the best cheap defensive pick of the week for streaming. So I definitely agree with you.
London Money, who do you like from Washington and Jets?
Robbie Anderson.
There we go. We didn't mention him. That's a good one. Robbie Anderson, he hasn't, you know, he gets a couple of balls.
He's
three targets last week.
He's due.
He's due. Dallas, he had 21 fantasy points.
He was drafted fairly high, you know, on a lot of season-long teams. You know, he was kind of a second, third receiver taken. Last year, he had a great second half of the year. You know, he was putting up double digits every week. The quarterback issues have hurt him this year, and I don't think he's very happy there right now with the situation. But, you know, I think he's definitely a good dart throw in DFS this week.
Yes, and one of my sleepers, it's a stretch, Sims, though. They do a lot of gimmick plays with Sims. He scored on that long run against the Pats. I don't know, 4,600. He's a stretch. That's all I have to say about this.
So up next we have Dallas at Detroit. This game is, you know, it's a bit of an anomaly here because Matt Stafford will be out in this game, which really makes this game into something that it shouldn't have been when it was written down on the schedule. So Dallas is giving up 7 points. Live over under is 46.5. People are obviously heavily favoring Dallas, 65%, because Stafford's going to be out.
Yeah, Driscoll. I like Driscoll. He wasn't bad last week. He threw the ball a ton, like we said he was going to do. But he's got to score touchdowns. I think Dallas is a good team for him to get back on track. Dallas is up and down. You know, I like Driscoll. I love Jones. I love Galladay. I see these guys doing well. Prescott always gets his numbers. On the Dallas side, definitely use Prescott. Use Ezekiel Elliott. He'll get his touches and get his numbers. Wide receiver for Dallas side, I'm using Gallup and Cobb. Sneaky picks on the Detroit side, Amendola. Driscoll, for some reason, threw a lot to Amendola last week. He threw, he had 8 targets, which, you know, is a lot for him. And, you know, he's going to be open. Dallas's D is so-so. They ranked 7th against the pass. They ranked 7th. I didn't see how or why, but I think Detroit opens them up. And getting 7 points at home for me with Detroit's huge. I'm definitely going to take that.
So in this game, I think my favorite skill position player in this game is going to be Ezekiel Elliott, given that, you know, Detroit's ranked 27th in the league against the rush. So I think Elliott here has a big day, and I think he's finally worth that $8,400 price tag. I'm going to stay away from Amari Cooper this week because he's most likely going to get Slay the entire game. And Slay is pretty good. So I'm going to stay away from him. But because of that, I think that more targets go towards Gallup in this game. He had 10 targets last game. Not great. He only caught 4 of them. But I think he's going to get double-digit targets again because they're going to try to avoid the Slay matchup in this one. I'm not going to play any Detroit receivers this week, given that Stafford is out. I know you like some of them, but Dallas has, you know, they've been, you know, a little stingy against the receiver production from a fantasy perspective.
But for some reason, Detroit plays, and I know you can say this about a lot of teams, but Detroit plays well at home, and they do. And I don't see this game being a 7-point spread. So,
well, I guess we differ on this one because one of my
first time, yay,
a defense that I like this week is Dallas. they're only 4,100. And I think that most teams, when you're going against a backup quarterback, you'll see their price jump up closer to 5,000 in FanDuel. And Dallas stayed down at 4,100, even though Stafford is out. So I am going to use the Dallas defense a bit, and hopefully I'm not wrong.
Yeah, and real quick, I know earlier I said I didn't know the Miami weather. It's going to be 70, which... Well, right now here where I'm at, it's in the 30s. So 70 is hot. So keep that in mind. I think the weather might play a factor.
Yeah, I mean, if you go, it's snowing in New York right now. So you go from that to 70 and you throw on a bunch of pads, and it will be a factor.
Fatigue factor. All right, we're moving and grooving.
So up next, we got New Orleans at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is getting 5. Over under is 50 in this game.
Oh man, I know New Orleans has to come back and show up. I see them. This is going to be a high scoring game. I like New Orleans defense, but I like the defense in New Orleans. But Tampa Bay, again, what we said, you never know with Winston's going to show up. Winston that could throw 5 touchdown passes might show up, or the one that could throw 5 interceptions,
or the one that eats W fingers.
He eats his fingers. So I like Breeze with the comeback this week. Big on Breeze. I like on the New Orleans side, I like both running backs. I think they just have to come out. I like Thomas, obviously. On the other side of the ball, I like Evans. I like Ronald Jones. Winston, I do like Winston today. And I won't be playing any defenses.
I think it's smart to stay away from the defenses in this one because, you know, Winston has that possibility of getting the ball in Evans or Godwin's hands, and they can make stuff happen, especially Godwin. I think Michael Thomas is worth the $9,000 for a receiver this week. Tampa Bay is ranked 32nd against the pass. If you look at Michael Thomas's last 5 weeks, he's had at least 11 targets. He's had over 30 once, over 20 twice. You know, his lowest scoring game was 12. So I think he's going to put up big numbers in this game.
And we were surprised last week. You know, Atlanta really, I didn't understand that one. But
because we
called it out. We said, you know, last week we said it more than once. You know, this game is going to be a lot closer. It was 13-point spread, and we said it would be a lot closer.
I do really like Kamara in this game. I think he's probably going to get, you know, somewhere close to, or if not double-digit targets in this game from a passing standpoint. And I think that Breece is going to hit him, you know, early and often in this game. And I see this being kind of a, you know, probably a get-right game for Alvin Kamara. I see him breaking over 20 in this game.
I'm with you. And London Money, what do you think? Tampa Bay, New Orleans. Now, London Money, his first team was Tampa Bay because he was literally like the pirate ships, and that was his team. But he's moved on since. He's a Giants fan. What do you think about Tampa Bay, New Orleans? Who do you like? Who do you? What guys would you play in this game?
Michael Thomas and Godwin.
Godwin and Thomas. Okay.
And
Ronald Jones. There we go.
Sounds good. So up next, we got Arizona at San Francisco. Arizona is getting 10 points. The public likes that. 60% are on Arizona. The over-under is sitting at 44 points right now. So in this game, we got Kittle is doubtful. Emmanuel Sanders is questionable. Chase Edmonds out for Arizona. Breda is doubtful for San Francisco. Mostert, you know, this guy's old news from a couple of weeks ago. He's questionable. So San Fran has some running back, you know, questions. And then Arizona also has its running back questions in this game.
But Drake, Arizona, like I said a couple of weeks ago when they played, Arizona was one series away from winning this game. One series. I think they exposed a lot of the San Fran on D. San Fran had had trouble last week with the running quarterback with Wilson. I think it happens again. This isn't a 10-point spread game. Arizona's defense isn't that bad, but San Fran, they really scraped for their weapons last week. Like, Bourne came to play. Debo Smith came out. I think Arizona wins this game outright. And Murray is going to have a career day. Fitzgerald's going to pick up. I don't know if they're going to use Isabella much, but I see Murray having a career day in this.
So on the Arizona side, skill position players, I like Murray. I like Kirk, and I like Fitzgerald.
I forgot about him. Yes, Kirk.
So last week, Christian Kirk, he had 34.8 fantasy points. So he's probably going to be owned decently. People may be scared of the San Francisco defense, but I think Murray can move around enough to get the ball out of his hands and get it to Kirk and Fitzgerald. I think those three are my favorites from Arizona. If you drafted David Johnson in the first or second round of your season-long league, I'm sorry. But, unless there's an injury to Drake, he basically just needs to stay on your bench. There's no reason to fire him up anymore. I know it hurts because you probably drafted him, you know, within the first three rounds. On the other side of the ball, Tevin Coleman is like really the only, you know, fully healthy running back for San Francisco. Arizona's 24th against the rush. So I really do like Tevin Coleman today, and he's probably the only guy from the San Fran side that I would play.
And I'm with you on that. Like I said earlier, they don't have many weapons. They got off to a good start, but I think it's going to dwindle. I think the 49ers are going to dwindle, and I see the Cardinals coming out. You're right, Kirk. You got Fitzy, Kirk. If you watch the game, I believe Monday night, when Russell moved the pocket, they couldn't stop him. So I'm Arizona for that game.
And I am too. I'll take Arizona with 10 all day long. I think San Fran maybe, you know, ekes this one out, you know, by 1 to 3 points. But with the Arizona plus 10, I think, you know, I agree with the public on this one. I think they definitely cover.
I like them outright. We're moving on.
So up next, we got New England at Philadelphia. Philadelphia.
Oh, 1 second. My bad. What do you, London Money, who do you like Arizona-San Fran game?
Kyler Murray and Drake.
Kyler Murray and Drake. There we go.
Nice. So we got up next, we got New England at Philly. Philly's getting 4.5. The over-under is 44.5. It's sliding down slightly. In the beginning, somehow this opened up as Philly is a 1-point favorite, and it swung 5.5 points in the other direction, which makes a lot more sense. I guess it was bet, you know, it was clearly bet this direction. Even though it's bet this direction, 62% of the public is still on New England giving up 4.5.
Now, when I saw this early in the, when it first opened, I was like, you know, Super Bowl rematch. The fans are going to be into it. The environment's going to be crazy. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be playing many people from this game. I'm definitely not playing Brady. My season long, I have, who do I have? Hold on.
Well,
so for season long, I have Sony Michel, and I'm not sure if I'm going to play him today. It's just, I don't know. I think this game's going to be a low scoring, grinded out. Like, Philly doesn't have much on their side. New England does, but I think Philly's going to come with the crowd, with the environment, and, you know, it's a Super Bowl rematch. I don't know. I'm kind of staying away from this game. Both now, betting wise, I would take Philly plus 4.5. But other than that, I'm good with this game.
So I'm going to be a bit contrarian. I like this game quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I always like New England coming off a loss, because you look back over time, Brady doesn't really lose two in a row. That just doesn't happen. Typically, you know, when New England's embarrassed, they tend to put their foot on the gas pedal and try to show off the next game. Because of that, this is the one time of the year, at least so far, where I do like Brady. He actually has quite a bit of games where he's gone, 23 plus points. I think it's 4 or 5 games where he's gone over that mark, which is pretty good for FanDuel points this year at the quarterback position. And he's fairly cheap. He's in the mid sevens. So I see a lot of value with him there. I think that Julian Edelman gets his 10 plus targets. And I like Mohamed Sanu's price this week. So he got 14 targets last week, and he's only 5,800 this week. That's a bit,
wow.
That's a bit insane. You usually won't see somebody who gets 14 targets be priced that low. And he was pretty efficient. You know, he caught 10 of them and he got a touchdown, just over 19 fantasy points. So I really like Mohamed Sanu here. I don't necessarily like Philip Dorsett, not because of a lack of skill. It's because of a lack of targets. So I feel like you're taking more of a shot, a chance. If he scores points, it's going to be on one big play. And I don't necessarily like to gamble on the one big play. I'll take the volume over that chance. From the running back side, I don't really like any running back in this game. I know Ajayi's finally back,
your guy.
But But, you know, the New England rushing defense, aside from last week, has been pretty good. You know, last week, you know, it looked terrible, but I don't like to base too much off of one game. I'd rather look at the season long. So on the Philly side, my favorite, you know, receiver is probably going to be the tight end Zach Ertz. I will use him. So he's coming off a game last week against Chicago where he caught 9 of 11 targets for 103 yards and a touchdown and scored over 20 fantasy points per game. I see him getting used pretty heavily in this game. So he's probably my favorite skill position player from Philly.
But you got to keep in mind that, all right, running back, New England's not going to worry. But what Belichick does, he's going to take away what works. And Ertz is what works. So, I don't know. That's why I'm staying away from this game. You know what I was just thinking?
What do you think?
What if Miles Garrett put on a disguise and came back to the NFL with a different name? Do you think they know it's him?
He might be able to get away with it. I don't know how he, right? I don't know how he would get paid, though.
Just say his name is Garrett Miles.
Garrett Miles?
Right?
All right, it would probably give it away, you know, when he took somebody's cleat off and, like, tried to stab him with it. They'd be like, yeah, wait a second. I think I know who you are.
Real quick, London Money has some on New England Philly game.
Like, not Earth, but Goddard.
Oh, Goddard. Yes, we forgot about him.
That's true.
For the Patriots. And for the Patriots, I like the D.
Patriots defense. Goddard's a good pick. Like, they, like the Patriots used to do with Hernandez and Gronk, they run a lot of double tight end, and Goddard might block, and then Goddard's going down. Or Goddard might go down field and be matched up against a cornerback, which that's a good sneaky pick. I like that. I wasn't thinking that. Good job.
One thing, you know, going real quick back to Miles Garrett is – when I first saw the video, it reminded me of the Happy Gilmore, you know, the opening sequence where he says only guy in his league to ever take off his skate and try to stab somebody.
Yeah.
That just kept playing in my head over and over. I'm surprised no one's mashed that up yet.
I was just thinking that. It's probably coming down now that you said
somebody's got to make that on Twitter.
I thought you were going to start crying and said, "My Garrett stole your lunch money when you went to high school."
So up next, we got Cincinnati at Oakland. Cincinnati is getting 11.5 points in this game. The over-under is at 48.5. Cincinnati is, for seemingly the rest of the season, going to be running with their new backup quarterback. I think it's Finley, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is Finley.
So
he was good in college.
Cincinnati is 0-9. You know, they're 3-6 against the spread. Oakland's looking better than what people thought they were, depending on the week. What do you think about this game?
I'm stacking Oakland. I'm playing Carr, playing Jacobs, playing Renfro. I might do variations of Williams, Winfrey, Waller the Baller. Definitely playing Waller the Baller. His backup, Maruno, play him. Raiders D. I'm going to hop all over this game and maximize my points. If you have season long and you have Carr, definitely stock Carr. Cincinnati's going to give up a ton of points. They gave up 50 points last week. And I understand that they were going against, you know, one of the best offensive rush quarterbacks. But this is the worst defense in the league. Worst defense. Maximize your points. Play Jacobs. Play, you know, I know you have four Oakland guys. Stay away from the D. The D would get you points. But just maximize the points. Other side of the ball, I might see Boyd catching something here and there. Erickson, a stretch. Wide receiver, Mixon. I don't see Mixon doing much today.
For me, I like six guys in this game. So from the Oakland side, and I'm putting this guy in DFS games is Josh Jacobs at 8,000. I like Tyrell Williams at 6,200. Given the matchup, I think it's a really good price for him. Waller, 6,700. They average the same fantasy points per game. Price is a little higher, but, you know, for Waller, that's fairly low. And then I do like the Oakland defense this week. My only issue with the Oakland defense is how much money they are. I think they're 5,000 or 5,100. So they...
Yeah.
They're, you know, FanDuel's thinking that, you know, they're going to absolutely dominate Cincinnati, and they might. I mean, not they might. They will. I don't know if Oakland's defense is necessarily worth 5,000, but they will do very well, and they have a high floor this week. On the other side, yeah, with A.J. Green out, I like Tyler Boyd and Mixon. So the only reason I really I'm big on Mixon is that last week he got 30 rushing attempts and 3 targets. So that's 30. Well, he caught 2 of them. So that's 32 touches in a game. He's only 6,600. Anyone who touches the football 32 times in a game, I like. He was able to get 16.1 points out of that. But they're going to lean on him.
A lot of those touches are because the quarterback, like, that every time he dropped back, he was throwing, like, interceptions, or they were in his face. So they just decided to run the ball. But
I think they're going to be
the Rams the week before. He did well. He's a double digit guy, but I don't know. I don't trust him today.
I mean, by no means is he going to lead Cincinnati to victory, but I think
I think
you know, he'll touch the ball 30 times in this game, and you know, Joe Mixon's talented. He has that ability to, you know, maybe break a long 80-yard run for a touchdown, or
yeah, he does.
And then, you know, maybe they get down in the red zone and he runs one in. You know, I could see Mixon putting up a 20-point game in a terrible loss for Cincinnati. So he's probably my favorite guy on Cincinnati. I thought about maybe playing Boyd, given that Oakland's, you know, defense is pretty bad, but Boyd really hasn't shown up for the past 4 weeks.
Yeah. Who do you like, London Money?
Jacobs, and that's it.
You only like Jacobs in this game? Why do you like Jacobs?
Because he does good every week.
There we go. That sums it up.
So, yeah, with that Jacobs pick, I really don't think you can go wrong. I think he's priced right at 8,000. I see, you know, 20 to 25 out of him. So I think that's a really good pick.
All right, let's move on to the Chicago and L.A.
So Chicago is getting 6 points. The over-under is 40. The game is at L.A.
Now, if you listen, you know I'm a Rams fan.
What?
I'm actually a disappointed Rams fan. So I think 6 is a stretch because there's no home games for the Rams. All Chicago fans would be in the stadium. I know Trubisky's not playing well, but everybody seems to show up against the Rams. They're not giving Gurley the ball. They try to preserve him for the playoffs. They probably won't even make the playoffs. Cook's out. I don't like the Rams at 6. This would be more of a 5-man lineup for DFS. I don't know which route I'm going to go. For season long, if Montgomery is playing, definitely play Montgomery. Trubisky's not throwing to Allen that much, so you want to play Gabriel season long. Even if you don't have to in season long, don't play any of the Bears because Trubisky doesn't have big numbers. Play Montgomery. For the Rams side, I don't know. Like, Goff's not going to have big numbers. Gurley's not going to have big numbers. Plays Erline. And I don't like the Rams at -6. That's my take.
They took the kicker away.
That's
We're not allowed to use the kickers anymore. So my favorite player from this game is Robert Woods. I think so. Last week he had 11 targets, 7 receptions for 95 yards. I think that Robert Woods is probably going to be the bright spot from the Rams this week. I think Gurley has a decent floor, you know, of probably like 10, 11, 12 points. But I can't see him pushing anywhere past that this week. I think Cooper Kupp he's the best player on the team. However, he's going to draw the most attention from Chicago. So I think that frees up Robert Woods in this game. You know, I'm going to stay away from both quarterbacks in this game, definitely. As far as defense goes, I don't really like either defense in this game. And on the Chicago skill position side, I don't like anyone in this.
Well, you summed it up.
Yeah, this is a game. Only guy I think I'd take from this game is Robert Woods, and that is it. If you had to pick this game.
To win outright, the Rams might win outright, but it's not going to. I don't like the six. I'm anti that.
That six seems very high. I'm surprised that the public is leaning towards the Rams minus six. I think this game should be somewhere around a plus three, so there is some value with the Chicago pick, and it's a bit contrarian to take them.
But again, like I was saying with the game I played yesterday, Chicago can't score, you know, and that's, you know, like they can't score, and like the Rams can. They haven't been, but they can. So,
well, the best, you know, way for Chicago to score is their defense or special teams.
True, I agree.
Okay, well, I don't think either of us really like this matchup in Chicago, so we'll move on to.
Oh wait!
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Who do you like?
I like no one on the Rams, but I like Trubisky.
There we go. He's anti-Rams because of Dad. So.
Oh right. No!
I knew that was coming.
He's a rebel.
Yeah.
Going against you. So
here we go.
Here comes my team, right after your team, Kansas City. Against LA in Mexico. So this year, you know, I won't believe that the game's going to be in Mexico until they actually kick the ball off. Because last year, I think they got ruined by a Shakira concert.
Yeah, but they played in LA, and what a game!
That was the best football game I've seen in my life.
It was my team against your team. So I think with this, after last week, you were pissed. You broke everything in your house.
I was very upset last week.
That was a crazy ending to the game.
The Titans always have KC's number over the last few years. Knocked them out of the playoffs a couple years ago. They beat them a lot of times that they play them. I don't know what it is about the Titans.
Well, I haven't seen you this excited in a long time. But so this is going to be, unless you're playing Sunday night into Monday night for DFS, this is going to be a five-man in DFS. And I'm stacking KC. LA side, maybe put in Hunter Henry. Stack KC, put in Hunter Henry. Season long, whatever Chiefs you have, put them in. They're going to score a ton of points. And they're going to score a lot. And score a lot, and score a lot.
I agree. For season long, I would play both sides of this. If you got him, put him in. The only guy that, you know, has some question marks for me would be Eckler. Because Melvin Gordon is getting more and more of the share of the running back role every week. So given that, I love Melvin Gordon in this game. I think he touches the ball, you know, 20 to 25 times, and I think he has a huge day. I like Hunter Henry from the Chargers side. I would take a shot on Eckler in DFS. You know, he may be a decent flex play in your season long league. I think Hunter Henry has a big day for the Chargers. And this might be the week where Mike Williams finally figures out where the end zone is. I don't know. Maybe someone could draw him a map. Maybe the end zone's easier to find in Mexico than it is in America. But he's been a bust this whole season. Double digits, only 2 weeks. But if there is a game, if you've been a Mike Williams fan and you've been waiting for the week where he finally shows up, this might be it. And I agree with you on the Chiefs side. Fire everyone you have up.
There we go. So what do we move to, our lineups or picks of the week?
So up next, oh, by the way, that entire segment, our matchup segment, was brought to you by Skybook AG. Visit our website, click through the banners, place your bets. So up next, we have our $1 million FanDuel lineups. It's the main slate. Can't miss it. Most advertised thing on FanDuel today. So this is brought to you by FanDuel. So what is your $1 million lineup this week?
I'm going to do it, but I'm getting a sign from London Money. Who do you like in the Chiefs Chargers?
Mahomes, he's going to have a couple no-looks, and Tyreek is going to have 4 touchdowns.
Wow, 4.
Oh,
wow.
That's a
that
bold
prediction. Goes right.
Bold prediction.
I'll get you whatever you want. Yeah, there we go. So like I said, I'm going to stack the Raiders. I hope they don't let me down because I'm stacking them huge. So my quarterback, I'm going with Derek Carr. My running back, I'm going with McCaffrey. Other running back, Jacobs. Wide receiver, 1, Renfro. 2, Westbrook. 3, Crowder. Tight end, Waller to Baller. And my flex, I'm using running back Brian Hill. And I don't have much money left, so I'm using Jacksonville Jaguars on my D.
Nice. So this is the $1 million lineup that's going to – well, actually, I guess it's a $300,000 lineup now. Maybe I can pay off my mortgage. Quarterback, I'm going Tom Brady. Running back, 1, Ezekiel Elliott. Running back, 2, Josh Jacobs. Wide receiver, 1, Mohamed Sanu. Wide receiver, 2, DJ Moore. Wide receiver, 3, Chris Conley. Tight end, Zach Ertz. In the flex, Alvin Kamara. And at defense, I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys.
Nice. London Money, put your lineup in. Come on, we're running out of time.
Kyler Murray, Ronald Jones, Philip Lindsay, Amari Cooper, Edelman, Diggs,
Gesicki,
and Michelle, and 49ers defense.
Good job. All right, we're going to move on.
So up next, we got Picks Against the Spread brought to you by Sports Odyssey. Check out their banners on our website as well. So who are you picking this week?
Minnesota minus 10, Jacksonville plus 2.5, and Philly plus 4.5.
So Minnesota, Jacksonville, and what was the other one?
Philly plus 4.5.
Philly. I'm writing them down. That way I can see how we do next week.
Last week I went 1-1 and no, I went 1-2 last week. The first time all season I fell under 500.
I don't want to talk about how I did that last week. I don't like to look in the rearview mirror. I like to look forward. So this week I'm taking Miami plus 6.5 against the Bills. Jets plus 2.5 at Washington. Arizona plus 10 at San Francisco.
All right, we got to go and... before we go, I want to say my wife made her first parlay. She did a 5-gamer. She's into it now. She's seen how much I won. She almost hit. She missed by 1 game. So shout out to my wife and her parlay.
All right. So again, visit our website, killasportpicks.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at killasportpick.
Hey, thanks for listening today. We ran a little long today, but the info's good. Try to listen to it before 1 o'clock's kick off. We're getting it out. Enjoy, Ground Jordan. Great job.
Take care.